This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. And Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are. This is SB Live Today, a podcast about high school sports across the state of Washington. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide high school sports reporter, and with me, SB Live senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, and SB Live analyst and host of the forthcoming podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. Dan Dickow, gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Nice that it's truly summer now. Kids are done with online schooling, and so you can truly say it's summer, but the other thing that it's nice is the fact that I know you're going to really touch on this, Andy, and kind of talk about it, but there's guidelines now that are going to share how the restart of high school sports may look like. So all things are good in my world.
Todd, the picture is becoming a little bit more clear for what a return to play is going to look like with the WIA's return to play guidance coming out on Monday. It's a 13-page document that mirrors what the NFHS sent out last month, but is a little bit more specific to Washington, to schools across the state. It was approved by state officials late Saturday night, released on Monday. But questions still remain. When will sports return is the big question. What will that timeline look like, particularly for high-risk sports? Todd, when are we going to have an answer to that? And what was the most glaring omission on this return to play guidance in your eye?
Well, I mean, that timeline hasn't changed. It's probably at the earliest. We're going to see it the early to mid part of July. It could go longer. I mean, as we all know, this COVID-19 pandemic is a big time moving target. The trends have not been good across the country. Especially in certain states, it just sort of is so up and down. I don't know if glaring omission. Yeah. I mean, I think we all would like to know, more specifics about when is football going to be back? When can we see games? And for fans, how many people are going to be able to watch? Now, I kind of equate this to what the WIA has done here with this release of their return to play guidance. Is they've sort of set the table. You walk into your dining room, the table's set, and now everybody wants to know when everybody's going to eat. It's just it's so frustrating to have to be patient about this, but they also have to kind of set the table because they need sort of districts to sort of take their lead and kind of, this is a state association that really empowers its districts. And they want their districts to sort of take the lead and prepare accordingly without really knowing when football is coming back, if it's coming back. I mean, that's the $64,000 question, and we all know it. But like I said, you can't really eat without the table being set. And I know that's a frustrating analogy to see, but that's the situation the WIA is in, and to a lesser extent, the state is in as well.
Yeah, what this return to play focused on was, in addition to this 13-page document that essentially laid out what it's going to look like in accordance with each of the governor's phases, which phases certain parts of competition can return. And something that was used as a guiding principle was in the NFHS's return to play, it identified all of the fall sports and it labeled each sport based on its risk. So low risk, moderate risk, or high risk for transmission. They're asking questions of, okay, is there a lot of sustained contact? Is there a high probability of respiratory particle transmission? And you look at the three high-risk sports, football, cheer, dance, and drill, and you know, those are all sports that are going to be the last to return. And in the NFHS's document, it says that phase four is going to be when high-risk sports can return. And now the WIA, so at some point in the creation of this document, omitted that part of it. It essentially started with the NFHS doc and said, you know, here's how we're going to apply this to the state of Washington. And then it sent it to the superintendent's office, sent it to the governor's office, sent it to the Department of Health. Now, high-risk sports will certainly be the last to return. We just don't know when that will be yet, under what phase. I asked WIA spokesperson, Sports Information Director Casey Johnson, about the omission of when high-risk sports is going to return. He called it the million-dollar question and just said that, you know, we're still waiting on more information. So no counties are in phase four right now, so it's just too early. They do have certainly have time. So there's an executive board meeting on July 7th that the WIA is going to discuss. The exec board is going to discuss a timeline for return to play a little bit more. And maybe by then we'll have a clearer idea of what that's going to look like. Dan, out in Spokane, what's your sense of the type of recreation that's taking place? You know, particularly your basketball academy is typically in the summer. What's that looking like? And I guess, being in a different phase out there, how does that impact recreation?
Yeah, Spokane is in phase two. A lot of people are hoping that we get to phase three in the very near future. My basketball academy, for example, typically takes the month of June off so that high school coaches have a chance that's the focus. I start back up in July. Obviously, we miss some kids that go do the AAU circuit stuff, but we do a lot of stuff in July and August. I won't do anything right now. I know there's some people that are quietly trying to do some workouts, and you're legally allowed to do 5 or 6 person workouts at this point in time, I believe. I've chosen not to. I just figured, you know what, better safe than sorry. When Spokane will move to phase three, you can have up to 50 people. And so then at that point, I'll look to do something. Not 100% sure what, but I know it'll be limited in size. I think the big thing right now in Spokane is, you know, we have a better weather pattern or history over here on this side of the state. So you are able to get outside and work out, you know, on an outdoor court, or, you know, go for a jog, as opposed to, you know, dealing with the weather sometimes on the west side. So I think you are seeing a lot of people starting to do group exercise, group workouts. I've even heard of some 5-on-5 scrimmages going on in different places. So you're always going to find those people that are kind of towing the line. But I have talked to some high school coaches over here and they've said, hey, I am not doing anything structured. I am following this to a T, which is respectable, and it's the way it should be done.
Dan, I have a question for you. I know we're 4 or 5 months away from basketball, high school basketball workouts. If I'm a basketball coach or I'm a basketball player and I'm looking what's going on right now and the uncertainty of football, am I worried?
I think so. You know, I hate to say that because I want to see the season going on without a doubt. You know, I think there's been, you know, some people that have gotten a little more comfortable with going out and doing different things in group settings or what it may be. And I think if people get too comfortable too soon, you might see, you know, an uptick again. And an uptick might be small, it might be large, but it might be just enough changing of the numbers and the metrics that everybody's going to have to look at to allow high school and or college sports to start up when everybody wants to see it happen. And everybody wants to see that start up for football in the fall and volleyball in the fall and basketball. If football doesn't happen, okay, well, what is that looking like? Is it going to push back the start of basketball, or is it going to impact the ability for basketball to even go? So, you know, I know everyone's, you know, really frustrated and tired of quote unquote sitting around doing nothing. You know, but I still think, I really hope that people can
still see and understand the severity of everything that's going on and just get through a little bit longer so we can kind of really make a wise decision about the restart of sports at all levels.
Ever since the shutdown, WI Executive Director Mick Hoffman has installed and published 2-minute drill videos where he just talks to the camera about what's the latest, what the association is working on, and kind of tries to be a leading voice throughout all this, particularly in his first year at the helm. And on Monday, when the return to play was released, so was another 2-minute drill. And Hoffman took aim at folks who he felt like were challenging, you know, the state, challenging the association, and coming at it from, well, you know, there's other states have opened things up a lot more rapidly. Why haven't we? And he said this, and I'll quote, "Several people have challenged the state, myself, as well as our team, of why aren't we doing it more like other states? Well, what we're seeing now is those other states that went too fast, opened too fast, that is, are having to go really slow to catch back up." So, Hoffman certainly had a message unlike one we had seen before. Todd, what did you make of that? What did you make of that 2-minute video?
Yeah, I mean, that was easily the strongest quote of the video. I think you just have to sort of measure intent. And sometimes I think people just look at the action and they don't look at the intent behind the action. And I think that was his way of saying, hey, you know, I know we're a little slower than a lot of states, but this is what happens when you're not healthy. This is what happens when you maybe get to this a little faster than you should. And yeah, I think there's some frustration all the way around with Mick and the WIA. I mean, everybody is looking to Mick and the WIA to basically answer all the questions. And it's, you know, there are a lot of questions to be answered, but you know, so the COVID-19 also dictates some of those answers as well. So I just think Mick had to kind of remind people that intention behind the action probably is the most important thing, and had to kind of levy some examples of what happens when you go too fast, react too fast. And then those are pretty strong words from the executive director yesterday in his video, and very pointed as well.
So as we know now, this isn't new news to yesterday, but it only further drives this home. It's that high school sports may return in the fall very well. It's going to start with the low risk sports, and it's going to depend on where, what region of the state you are and what phase that region is in. So the low risk sports are swim, dive, cross country. Moderate risk sports are slow pitch softball, soccer, volleyball, and then, as I said before, the high risk sports are football, cheer, and then dance drill. So we will see. Low risk sports are set to return in phase 3, moderate risk phase 4. So a lot to still be determined here. Some of it will be determined, or some of it at least will be talked about in depth on that July 7th executive board meeting. But an interesting conversation I had yesterday was with Greg Whitmore. He's the president of the executive board. And he's the longtime head football coach and athletic director at Lynn Ritzville High School. He's on the WIA's committee planning contingencies for the return of football, which released a guidance that you can read about now. You can read about all this on scorebooklive.com/Washington. Including this conversation I had with Whitmore, where he's coming at this from as somebody who on the administrative level and at the state level is deeply enmeshed in these conversations and these return to play guidance and what specifically football return is going to look like. And so he also comes at it from a coach where he's having to really look at how am I leading during this time? And what am I telling my kids? He says that his players think that he has the magic, he has an inside and is one step ahead of everyone. And he's saying, no, we're all on the same page right now. And I know just as much as everybody else knows. And so really interesting conversation where, he probably, he just, really showed the caution that is in these football state event organizers and administrators when looking at a high risk sport such as football. Even when you get into a later phase and there are larger gatherings allowed, can you even pull off a football game with 50 people? You know, there's when 50 person gatherings in phase, I believe it is 3. So, Todd, in your story on the website right now, you looked at specifically football's return. Why did you take a closer look at football? What is it about football that has everybody so interested right now?
Well, I mean, it's the king sport. It drives athletic budgets. It buoys communities. The fall of football and the trickle down effect and the domino effect would be, I don't know if we have enough time to talk about that on a podcast. It's the driving force. It's the example. And I think that there's, if there's no football, we're looking at sort of a dark year. And I know I got a basketball a couple basketball guys on the podcast here, but I mean, this has to be the sport to set the tone. And it's, unfortunately, it's probably the highest risk sport of all. That's why we have to be so careful. It's interesting because when I talk to some of the WIA people, the biggest difference between the NFHS document and what the state has sort of emphasized in the proposal that the WIA sent them when it sent back was the idea of wearing cloth face guards. They are really pushing for that with their coaches, with their players, with officials, with game management people. I just don't think you can be too careful in the preventive measures as we try and return with football. I think that's the prevailing message that was sent yesterday with the guidance. And if you look at all the phases, that's, the point of emphasis are hygiene and social or physical distancing. And those will be the two emphasis, I think, moving forward as we get into July and as we await sort of the timeline in the return for football.
Any sweeping decisions that come down from the governor's level, the state health officials, the state health department, could change anything in this return to play document too. So our goal here is not to give this inside look at exactly the specific timeline of how high school sports are going to return. We don't have those answers. Nobody does right now. But what this is, I hope, is gives anyone interested an understanding of exactly how schools are going to prepare to phase back in high school sports as we phase back in other parts of life as well. So scorebooklive.com/Washington is where you're going to find in-depth write-ups, hitting this at every angle. Before we get out of here, Dan, last week at the end of the week, you and I released a podcast where you previewed what listeners might be able to expect from your forthcoming podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. Now, the start of that podcast, you've been hard at work behind the scenes, recording episodes with great guests. The start of that podcast has been delayed a week. You want to maybe reemphasize what listeners who may just be tuning in for the first time now can expect with the ISO?
Yeah, without a doubt. So if anybody's been following Scorebook Live Washington and what we've been doing, with our weekly podcast, I've been adding one conversation a week. Really since the mid of March when the quarantine really started up, when everybody had to stay home, where I was having one conversation a week with an expert in the field of sports. And what we've essentially done is we've taken that now to a new platform called Believe Sport or Believe Podcast Network, and calling it the ISO with Dan Dickow and SB Live Sports. Where we're going to have a very similar guests, but a lot of them, instead of maybe quite so focused on the state of Washington, and it'll be more of a national recognized name. Many of the questions are going to be the same thing. Coaching mentors, playing experiences that really guided and shaped their career. social issues right now are obviously something that's being touched on quite a bit. And so I'm going to be doing that. We're going to release twice a week. I actually interviewed Marshall Cho, who's a head coach at Lake Oswego down in the Portland area. He's got a phenomenal, unique background, grew up in Eugene, Oregon, spent some time coaching and teaching in Harlem in the Bronx, DeMatha Catholic, which is one of the national powerhouses, spent some time coaching in Mozambique and starting youth programs over there. He's been at the college level. So that was a conversation that we recorded today. Karan Butler is going to jump on an interview with me later today. We've had Eric Reveno from Georgia Tech behind the All Vote No Play initiative. Chris Haynes, an NBA insider. David Fizdale, former coach of the Knicks. So we're having a lot of really good guests early on that are, we're going to ask a lot of the same questions that have been pertaining to the state of Washington. So that's what I've been working on. I'm also going to continue to work on Washington geared guests that we're going to release in addition to our Washington podcast that we're on right now. So lots of good stuff is in the works. If anybody's got any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to continue to make it something that everybody wants to listen to.
Exactly. And I don't imagine that at the time of the release of this podcast that it'll be available yet to subscribe. But when it is, we will let you know. It's the ISO with Dan Dickow, wherever you get your podcasts, just like you'd subscribe here, the SB Live Washington podcast. So keep your eyes peeled for news on that. So we are going to get out of here, but head to scorebooklive.com/Washington. As I said, you'll have complete breakdowns of these this WI return to play guidance. You can read all 13 pages if you'd like, or the original documents for each sport on the site. So for SB Live Sports and SB Live Washington, they're Todd Millis, Dan Dickow, and I'm Andy Bueller. We will talk to you next week. We'll be right back.